Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager, you could find the abstract. Listening to hip hop, my pops used to say it reminded him of bebop. I said, well, daddy, don't you know that things go in cycles? Way that Bobby Brown is just amping like Michael. It's all expected, things are for the looking. If you got the money, Quest is for the booking. Come on, everybody, let's get with the fly mode. Still got room on the truckload of black gold. Listen to the rhyme to get a mental picture of this black man, black woman picture. Why do I see that? Because I gotta speak.
Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number 43, unofficially sponsored by Pearson's Salted Nut Roll, made right here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Don't be a butthole, eat a Pearson's Salted Nut Roll. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. You can also check out my other podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com. Here we are, episode number 43. Last episode I had Glo Pesci on. We talked about commons like water for chocolate. He schooled me on a little Minnesota hip-hop history. We're going to get some more of that today here. Tonight, whatever day it is, morning, this morning, if you're listening in the morning, with Dispute One. How you doing, man?
What's happening, man?
Episode 43. That's how deep I am. 43 deep.
Deep.
Yeah.
Very deep.
And Glo Pesci, what do you know about that guy? You know him?
Glo. Yeah, Glo was a staple of St. Paul. I mean, we're talking ultimate individual. That's going to be for the history of St. Paul.
Right.
So if you really need the grandfather, the whole dynamic of what St. Paul did for Twin Cities Hip Hop, talk to that man. I mean, I co-sign on that one.
Right. All right. Co-signed.
Oh, yeah.
How about
yeah.
Common, like Water for Chocolate?
Solid album all the way through. I believe it's probably influenced from the album that we're going to talk about tonight.
Oh, all right.
Just because of the way the musical influence is there and the way his poetical scheme came across.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that your favorite Common album, would you say? What's your you have a favorite?
I don't really have a favorite, man. Okay. He had tons of stuff. I mean,
right.
Lots of individual singles that came out. I mean, when he went after Ice Cube back in the day, that
right.
was probably like my best, like, whoa, you know, the
yeah.
bitch in you, you know, if most people know that.
Right.
They know to look that up, so...
Why would you mess with the West Side Connection?
Well, man, I mean, what it was Cube was kind of coming at the East Coast. Not like how
right.
Kendrick Lamar is nowadays, but for right now, that's a spark plug.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that's marketing, that's to get it going,
right.
that's to get hip-hop back where it's supposed to be. But back then,
mm-hmm.
it was already that way.
Yeah.
So when Cube got to dealing with the East Coast and trying to claim certain things, the East Coast wasn't playing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It didn't take a diss record to get people going. They,
right.
they were already ready. They had rhymes already written. So they had already dissed a lot of people. Like, I mean, yeah, tons of people.
Are you familiar? Are you a West Coast fan at all?
To a degree. I mean, a little of my influence came from the some of the Ice Cube earlier albums.
Right.
I mean, but other than that, I never really held on
okay.
to the feel.
So just not Mac 10?
Not really, man.
Mac 10's first album is a classic.
I was cool.
Yeah.
I was cool on them. You know what
and
I mean?
And that featured
yeah.
that song. It's called West Side Slaughterhouse. West Side Slaughterhouse. And that's
yeah.
the one where they kind of
yeah,
just... Kind of
went in.
Yeah.
Man, they
yeah.
went in. Now, since I was in the middle, man, I was more influenced by the East than I really was the West. The
right.
West
okay.
kind of opened it up for me to go, oh, shit, that's how they live. Like, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I didn't see drive-bys. I didn't see any of that shit.
Right.
But I could hear it, you mm-hmm. know, in the music. And Ice Cube articulated it quite well. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
And then the
yeah.
East was all about partying. So for me, I'm like, oh, okay, I know how to party. But I'm
right.
like, oh, okay, I also know what to deal with when I see these hand signs going up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I'm not wearing the right color, I have an idea of what not to do. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So we're here tonight. We're going to talk about A Tribe Called Quest,
yes.
The Low End Theory.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And again, this is another album that I wasn't on the boat for this one when it came out. You know
cool.
what I mean? I don't know. Yeah, actually, funny, we were just talking about this before we started recording. You know what I was listening to in 1991 was Vanilla Ice. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I
yeah.
I wasn't
the
even
ice,
listening
ice,
to
baby.
A Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, I knew of them.
And that was considered mainstream back then. So imagine,
yeah.
look at the flip of that.
Oh, yeah,
you
absolutely.
See, you see where it was almost like a bohemian style of hip-hop with the native tongues, and then you had this mainstream was flashy gold. It was the
yep.
exact same thing it is now, but
yep.
just on a more docile
right.
level. You know?
Right,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I would have been on bored with this.
Oh yeah,
this, more than the Vanilla Ice thing. But
this woke me up, man. Yeah. I was getting out of high school when this was out. Man.
So this was like the prime MTV era. They were showing videos.
Oh yeah,
and I knew. You know, their first album, Left My Wallet in El Segundo, I mean, that was a big song. And
that was a crossover hit for them. If you think about all the music on Instinctive Pass on that album there, it was a total crossover. Because it's like, oh, here's your top 40. You know, it's sung, song, dance. Yep. And you're like, it's really?
Kind of funny.
You know? Exactly.
They had the mass appeal to it there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the, what was the other song? But start with something think bottom.
On that album. Not off top, I can't tell you, man. Really right. Off top, we'll have to go back.
It doesn't matter. We're here to talk about the low end theory.
I'm saying, yeah, I did my homework.
Yeah, you did.
I got homework.
Serious homework.
Yes, I got about 10 pages worth of homework.
Judging by the amount of paper you have in front of you,
yes,
you get an A off the bat.
Outstanding.
I hope the content holds up to the quality and the content.
Yes, indeed.
So, Tribe Called Quest, for those unfamiliar, Q-Tip, aka The Abstract. Fife Dawg, Fife Diggy, Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
That's correct.
And Jerobe White, so he was a big part of the first album.
Yeah, correct? Actually, he was an influence apparently throughout all of their stuff, but he was the heart and soul of the very first album. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the narrative. So when you're hearing at the very beginning where they have the reverb going and it's like the soul clap behind and there's just, you know, naming off people, he finally names himself at the end. So he's that spiritual fun. Vibe with Tribe.
That's cool. And yep. The story now, apparently he was a part of this second album, but somewhere in the process of this, he had plans to go to culinary arts, and he decided to go that route instead of the hip-hop route.
Yep. He had an epiphany. Most artists do that. They find themselves right at that deal, like, do I continue this or do I actually say, okay, I have a 9-to-5 and I have support outside of this? For him, he knew what his long-term goal was to be a cook or a chef per se. Right. So
there's a documentary, Michael Rapaport, the actor, producer, he did a documentary on Tribe. He's a big Tribe fan.
Yep.
He did a documentary called Beats, Rhymes, and Life. There's more to the title there, but it came out like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Fairly new. Really informative and it's really good, and it interviews everyone, kind of just gets you up to speed with like what the hell happened, why did they break up,
these who was guys? All a part of the recording process, right. And influences,
and so Jerobe kind of laid this out there. He was like, you know, what do I regret this? Absolutely not. It sounds like he's very content with the decision he made, you know. What I mean,
So
that's cool to see. It's like not like the third guy that started Apple Corporation that,
right.
Like, oh, I'm going to take my $10,000. I don't even think it was $10,000, and he like checked out. Jeez. And now he's like, obviously would have been a billionaire or something. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Hindsight is 20/20, man.
Right. again, my intro was from the first album, I Left My Wallet in El Segundo. And again, so this is their second album.
Right.
Released in September of 91.
Yep.
Jive RCA. Often cited as the Sgt. Pepper of hip hop.
Yeah, I mean, they consider it, when you look at it, it says genre, it says alternative hip hop jazz rap.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, the Sgt. Pepper analogy is all about the fusion of the two to music. And like we were talking about earlier, this, in my opinion, is like the best fusion of jazz and hip hop.
Right.
You know,
some might say Guru's Jazzmatazz. I don't know when that came out.
You know, off top, I mean, and that's sad. I mean,
I think it was after this.
It was after, yeah. Okay. I don't know the years. No hip hop history, guys.
Listening
I'm
to
sorry.
This, listening to this album. So, you and I met at a couple weeks ago, Big Jess Desdemona video shoot, and you suggested this. And again, I've said this many times on this show. It's like when people suggest albums like this that I don't. It wasn't in my listening. I don't even have the album. I didn't.
Right, right.
And I went out and bought it, and I've been listening to it pretty much nonstop. It's like, this is a solid album.
Yeah.
It's like, man, what the hell was I doing in 91?
Start to finish, like 48 minutes, man.
And it's a quick listen. It goes quick.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, this is history, and it's really good. It's timeless. Mm-hmm. And I was a big Digable Planets fan. Okay. I actually talked with Desdemona, I believe, on the show here about Digable Planets.
Nice.
And you can really hear this album's influence on them. In their music.
Completely. You know? Ladybug. Yeah. I mean, you know, those characters.
We could probably name millions, not millions, but hundreds of artists that are really influencing stuff you can hear with these guys.
I mean, you wouldn't have any Drake if you didn't have the low-end theory. I mean, I'm just going to keep it 100 with everybody.
I wish that there wasn't any Drake.
Well, we all do.
Right, okay. We're on the same page.
We'll let evolution kind of handle that. Darwin's theory will get him, you know, get him to phase out at some point.
But, man, it just from the first track, back in the day when I was a teenager.
Yeah, excursions.
it's just excursions. And then Fife opening up the next track, you know what I mean?
Bugging out.
You're bugging out.
Yeah, most of these songs, man, I mean, like we were talking earlier, I mean, there's at least four or five like major samples per track, like Excursion, since you brought that up. It's got Time from The Last Poets. It's got a tribute to Obabi from The Last Poets. Mm-hmm. It's got another joint from Shades of Brown, and it's also got a chant from the Art Blakely and the Jazz Messengers. I mean, we're talking Q-Tip went in this with the full scale mindset of I'm going to create a blueprint,
right,
and this is going to be a blueprint that's going to go forever. And you're right, I mean, the first thing he says, back in the day when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager, you could find the abstract listening to hip-hop or bebop, rather, you know what I mean? So when you go into that, he just was rhyming. That's the most successful thing a hip-hop artist could ever do,
right,
was just rhyme. Just rhyme, man, feel the music and rhyme. So yeah, this is a feel me album,
and that they did.
Rap promoter, I mean, butter. Check
like
the
butter,
rhyme.
Baby.
I mean, yo, this is an actual 101 to the industry. You can feel that this album took them from Instinctive Paths, was like a slap in the face, like, you are now rappers. Like, you can now make a living off this. And so that's why he hit this. I mean, in that interview, he says it. He was like, I'm not worried about the sophomore jinx.
Right.
I'm going to make low end theory. Let's do this, you know? And he forced everybody to come to the studio, you know what I mean? And that's another thing, groups versus crews. There's crews that we hear about all day, every day. They never last because of specifics. A group eats dinner together. A group has Sunday something. They meet every week, and they tell people, get your butt to the studio. Step your rhymes up. Nah, don't do that take. Let's do something else.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? And that's this is a group, man. You know what I mean? Like, the last, these are dinosaurs. Let's put it that way. We're looking at fossils right now. You know, hip-hop fossils, man.
And so in that documentary,
They
talk about Fife and Q-Tip have known each other since they were like 2 or 3 years old. You know, I mean,
childhood,
they go back.
Buddies.
And apparently they kind of lost connection, but kept in touch. They went to different high schools or something.
Right.
And that's when they kind of met Ali, and Q-Tip kind of honed his production skills. Somehow he knew or came in contact with Large Professor, you were saying?
Yep. As further down the line, Professor had a big influence on him, or himself rather, and Pete Rock too, in regards to the NPC using the sampling machine. So I mean, you can big up a lot of other artists for just being the bigger brother and saying, here, let me show you how to sample this, let me chop this up, give you the sequence. Next thing you know, you get a classic album. You know, it's listed in the top 100 albums ever, you know, best albums ever, top 500 best ever, you know, so.
Yeah, he did, he was digging in the crates, the definition of right there.
Man, all day. all day.
So I was reading, I've got a book that it breaks down albums, classic albums, and one of them is this album, and it has like Wu-Tang's 36 Chambers. It's just a bunch of classic albums, you know.
Groundbreakers.
And they were Q-Tip apparently. Okay, so his sister was dating someone from the Zulu Nation, and he would like go to these concerts, and just, he was a kid, you know, and just being influenced by that kind of stuff, and seeing all this was kind of the laying the ground for what he would become. And,
a martyr for hip hop, more than less. I mean, definitely.
And apparently, Fife wasn't a huge part of the first album.
No.
Come time for the second one, and they're like, you know, they get, there's more of an investment by the record label with Jive, so basically Q-Tip said to Fife, you know, this is it, you know,
it's do or die.
Do or die. And
do or die.
Fife, he took that literally, and
you have no choice, man.
No choice,
when you're young and you have the ability to just hit the studio, focus on what your artistry is and your craft is, that's like the ultimate feeling, because you're not pressured by life, you're not pressured by anything. That was the perfect time for this album to come out, because creatively, Q-Tip, like we said, was musically connected. And as far as Fife was finding himself as an MC, and you can hear it all through that album. I mean, it's bar none some of of the best work he's ever done. I mean, you know, most of those songs are just staples. You know what I mean? They're like, without Fife, I don't think I could have been a comfortable small guy on the mic. He made it feel real. He made yourself feel real large on the mic. You know, like, God, that guy's like 3 inches shorter than me. You know what I mean? And I'm feeling like I'm, you know, library material out there. Like, these guys are gonna laugh at me, but at the same time, I'm like, this little dude's got the largest voice and the largest movement. Yeah. Of course, I'm gonna do this. You know, so. All right. Yeah, big inspiration on that tip too, as far as personal.
So one thing I noticed in listening to this in my adult life, you know, there's very little cussing on the album. As a matter of fact, really, like, I think Fife says, I think shit at one point, or no, ass or something.
Maybe yeah, something real basic.
Really, it's like it goes unnoticed, and then. Yeah. The real bomb doesn't drop until literally the last song, Scenario, Busta Rhymes, and it's at the end of the song, and I think he says, motherfucker, something like that. I don't know. That was my best Busta
Most stale Rhymes urine, all that, all kinds of crazy stuff he said in that song, man.
But they kind of prided themselves in being, you know, somewhat of a clean group, you know what I mean?
I got a fun fact for you on that one.
Let's hear it.
Right here, the Ron Carter, the guy who laid the bass basically on verses from The Abstract, only agreed to do work with them if it did not have any vulgarity in it.
Really?
Yeah. Literally, it says right here, he agreed to record tracks on the condition that the group avoided profanity, and Q-Tip assured him that they were on real issues. So, I mean,
cool.
That Q-Tip went out and got live instrumentation and gave his word that he would give a quality product.
Right.
And, like, delivered completely. Mm-hmm. Like, because that Ron Carter on the bass, we got my man Ron Carter. He's on the bass. I mean, that's when he was naming off people in that those whole songs. I'm like, wait a minute, who's that guy? And then it started making me go, I don't have to sample. I can actually play music and play it correctly and get it engineered, and then it'll sound just like this. Thanks for the blueprint. You know what I mean? Once again, you know, hip hop got elevated once again. Like, yes, take live instrumentation and make it work. So yeah, no cursing, man, none.
And they kind of there's parts in songs where they kind of edit themselves, you know what I mean? Like at one point, I think it's the Sky Pager song where Fife says something about Star 69 means something, you know, and he just, and I looked it up on the internet. I was like, is what I'm listening to like an edited version? And people were like, why do they edit themselves, you know? And
it was about artist integrity, man. I mean, you're covering a good point. This album is covered with integrity. It's got long standing lifetime to it. I mean, like, endless. I mean, you can put this in right now, like you said, being somebody who wasn't hip to it then, and then checking it good 20 some odd years later, and you listen, you go, I'll be damned, this is a really nice piece of work. It was all the way through, it was thought out. You don't have this kind of thinking nowadays. People are real manufactured, they're real carbon copied. They're gonna deliver what people like, and they're not gonna be what people aren't used to. And so that's big about the way I make music. I make stuff you can't find, unfortunately. You know, good music is really hard to find.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? If you stumble onto me, you know, bravo. But you know, if not, you know, it is what it is. I mean, because I'm still doing it, you know.
So. I will say, I think someone who really is influenced by Tribe and Q-Tip, especially the production and just the being different aspect of it, is Kanye West.
All day long, man.
I hate the fact that he's really like a big mainstream guy, and people know him because he's an asshole, and that is working for him, obviously.
I mean, it's
love his music.
It's strategy, man.
Yeah, I love his music.
He can back it up. That's the difference. Yeah. I mean, if he was just some guy that was like a sixth man on his basketball team, it's like, dude, okay, they give an award for that, but that's not going to win a championship. You know what I mean? I understand you can get an award for that, but no. But he's putting out Grammys. He's putting out that nominated music, that stuff. It's transitional. You know what I mean? Once again, he knew how to take samples, chop them up, and take what has been, like, Through the Wire, since you bring him up. Through the Wire, bar none, probably one of the best songs that he's ever put out, because it was heartfelt. It was, I either do this or I die.
Right.
Another one of those, let me put out a pretty damn good album. Otherwise, this is going to be just me making beats for the buddies again. And same thing with them. I'm not going back to the streets. You
and
know?
Didn't Q-Tip do, he had something to do with one of his last two projects, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it was just some production, co-production or something.
I think it was co-production. Okay. Yeah, because it didn't make, I mean, most of it didn't make too much wind. I mean, Tip kind of went off onto his own thing and did some acoustic band stuff for a while. You know what I mean? And it's like, all right, he's always been the James Brown of the crew, in my opinion. You know what I mean? He was like, I'm I'm gonna do it regardless. Yep. And everyone else is like, all right, man, we're gonna retire this down. But he's like, no, I'm on it. Yeah. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
he's eccentric. And
yeah,
this seeing and reading the credits for this album is like, it really has helped me appreciate Q-Tip as an artist, because he's not just a rapper, he's not just a producer, he's an artist all around.
All around the board, man. Yeah, all around
and
the
board. And that's very cool to dig back and see these.
Man.
Read the facts and just listen to the album, you know. It's,
I mean, I'm still bugging out on the samples. I'm looking at this stuff now. I mean, everything is fair when you're living in the city is a really good joint. I mean, and I'm looking at the samples that are on there. Bobby Bird, some Funkadelics, Harlem Underground Band, some Willis Jackson. I didn't know any of these people until I started reading the credits. And that's how I knew good quality albums, because I used to be able to open up a CD or a cassette and go figure, look at the J card and go, okay, sample, sample, sample. And then I actually go look that sample up or be in the record store and say, do you have any of this? Mm-hmm. And just listen, even though I wasn't going to buy anything, but I would listen and hear stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because I never produced, but I always had a love and an interest for those that did.
Right.
And when you're a rhymer on top of that too, and like one of my favorite rappers of that era, it's like you can't do any wrong. You're the ultimate thing. Right. You know what I mean? You're the Iron Man of hip hop at that point.
Right.
And, you know, Mr. Starks himself. You created and you distributed.
There you go.
Yeah. It's nuts.
That's a good analogy. Yeah, we just talked comics a couple episodes back.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So what's your yeah, what are your standout tracks from the album?
Oh, excellent. Yes, I get to dig into my homework. Ultimately, man, I named them down. You have Excursions. We're looking at the infamous Date Rape, super classic.
Mm-hmm.
Show Business with one of the favorites, my all-time favorites. You got Diamond D, Lord Jamar, and Sadat X on that one. Everything is Fair, we just kind of covered that one. And What is ultimately one of the best songs on there. But I would say What is ultimately my favorite on there. I mean, I put a quote on Facebook about that today when he was just like, what's America without greed or glamour? What's an MC if he doesn't have stamina? It's just a whole song about the what's, yep. The what's, you know, which I think influenced what's his name? Mos Def.
All right.
Yeah, who ended up making a joint not too long ago after that deals with kind of like the what's almost in a sense too. So I mean, it's just a good thing. Q-Tip showed me, this whole album showed me how to make classics, showed me how to make stories, and showed me how to actually articulate the industry. It just said, this is what you're getting into,
right.
You know? So yeah, but definitely What is by far the best on that album.
I'm a fan of the background guys. So Fife to me is really, I mean, I love Q-Tip. Both their voices are very unique, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But Fife to me is kind of like the, he plays the role as kind of the hype man, but he's not a hype man by any means, you know?
Yep, yep.
But Bugging Out, great Butter, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And Scenario.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because Scenario was such a huge, I don't remember being a huge, but to me it was a big song. It was kind of the posse track, you know?
Yep.
And, of course, the intro of Busta Rhymes. I mean, I believe the Leaders of the New School had been around and had albums or an album before this.
Yeah, they were out.
But when you heard that song, you knew who Busta Rhymes was. You know?
Exactly.
That guy was destined to be successful. I mean, there's just, go and watch the video, which definitely looks like it was made in 1991.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the digital everything. Yeah.
But, you know, Busta Rhymes, man, it's like you see and hear his voice and his personality is... Yeah. Charisma and everything comes through in that, and I mean, the guy's destined to be.
Oh yeah, what he did was, I mean, he was put on blast like a lot of their other guest appearances were. It was like this is talent also, and they were considered a part of the Native Tongues,
right?
So they just ultimately were putting the little brothers on the scene also, like, hey, let's show you who's coming out next, type of deal. So I mean, and that's once again when hip-hop was unified on all fronts. I mean, you know what I mean, it was a battle, but it wasn't a battle against each other, you know, I mean, it was a battle against corporate America about getting this indigenous sound out there to say it's acceptable. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, everything that embodies who we are. This is hip hop, you know. I mean, so you can't go wrong. You really can't go wrong. This was ultimately one of the better ones. But yeah, you're right. Butter, Smooth Like Butter.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, come on, that we don't even have to go there. Yeah. That dude had it going on in that joint.
But yeah, also the intro, of Native Tongues. You just mentioned them, which was, I believe, kind of the foundation was De La Soul, Jungle Brothers, and Tribe.
In Tribe,
right? Yeah. But then it kind of branched out. Brand Nubian, Beat Nuts, Black Sheep, Queen Latifah was even in there at one point.
Moni Love,
New School, Moni Love. Yeah,
Moni Love was in there. Yeah. That was like the first, I would say, visual presence of like true unity also to hip hop. Because, you know, like the West Coast, I'm sure they had their native tongues, but it was all amongst the specific street things that were going on. So there's probably tons of crews that they had over there. They're like, oh, yeah, we're the creators of this side. But over here on the East side, they showed us pretty much how to have a good time and how to take music. Because like in that interview, like you said, Moni Love made it real simple and plain, you know. There is a time to say fuck the police, and there's a group to do that. You know what I mean? And there's a time to say fight the power, and there's a group to do that. You know, and like she said, we were change. We embodied what the Zulu Nation was about, which was expression, having fun, you know, and it still is. But yeah, they embodied it full scale. Yeah, full scale on that too.
Absolutely. Well, let's wrap up this first segment here. Take a break here, and we'll come back and find out who the hell is Dispute One. That's nobody knows. Not one person. But they're going to know today.
I like that.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
I try.
I don't like to insult my guests, but I will.
Hey, be nice.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back.
I'm hungry, but I don't know what I want to eat.
Well, let's eat at White Castle.
No, I don't want little burgers. I want a big burger. Plus, my farts will really smell.
Okay, first off, your farts already smell. Second, you can just eat enough sliders to equal a regular burger.
No, I don't want White Castle.
Don't be an asshole. Eat at White Castle.
White Castle is not affiliated with this ad in any way, shape, or form.
All right, we're back. Hey, I just wanted to quick talk about this real quick, because before we even started recording, I was reminded that my brother had told me he was at a Redbox and he saw this House Party movie.
Oh, God.
He called me right away. He was like, because he knows I love the House Party movies.
Right.
And he's like, first of all, I was like, I didn't believe him.
Yeah.
And then, so I just remembered to even look that up when you showed up here. And we watched the preview for the movie, House Party, Tonight's the Night.
Garbage.
Yeah, it does look terrible.
Oh, it looks the terrible. Worst. It's the worst.
So, House Party 1, 2, and 3. I would say 1 and 3 are my favorites. 2 is my third favorite.
Yeah.
My least favorite, I should say.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And then there was a House Party 4, which had nothing to do with Kid and Play.
At all.
And it was just like definitely direct video quality and just terrible. And then now there's this, which actually looks like somewhat quality, but
it looks like it's a bite off of one of those dance.
It does,
you know,
yeah.
Like Save the Last Dance or, you know, or whatever, Part 7 or Part 8, because they always use the same title.
Yeah.
It's just, now we're dancing in a cafeteria.
Right.
Oh, okay, we're going to battle in the gym floor. Oh, okay, we're good.
Now, I don't even remember if House Party 3 had, like, a dance scene.
You know, I don't think it did. It had, it was about being signed. It was all about getting signed. So
the
they were going back and forth with the label deal.
Kids getting married.
Exactly.
And
they were getting old.
Yeah. And the first one, of course, had the epic, the Kid and Play did the kick step, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Quit bumping the table,
Martin Lawrence.
All day, man.
But yeah, actually, I do another podcast with my buddy Chuck Chase called Some People's Kids Podcast. And we just talk about entertainment, movies. And I try to keep this as music as possible. But that one, we try to talk TV shows, entertainment, movies, and whatnot. We actually talked about House Party in an episode because... It's just a classic.
That four is terrible, but you know what that is. That's people still going, you know, we can make a little more money off of that. You know what I mean? Let's see if we could squeeze the lemon for one more glass. It's like, nah, man.
I'd be curious to know if Kid and Play saw anything off of that one.
I doubt it. I highly
doubt
it.
New Line Cinema probably did.
Beeline everything, B-cast, the whole nine. You know how that is, man. Yeah. That's like if the Terminator came out with something, it'd be like the story in between this and this. Yeah. You're like, lame.
Yeah, the prequel or something.
Exactly, something in between.
Yeah, you know, it always gets bad. I always say this in movies. When they run out of story ideas, they throw in time travel because it pretty much opens up anything. Throw in some time travel. They'll go back 50 years. And
we'll give them one or two things that they accomplished. They were still a badass then. Like, whatever.
But anyways, we're here to talk about Dispute One, a.k.a. Extreme.
That's what's up.
Yeah, and you've been around, man. You were there early in the Headshots days.
Yeah, yeah.
For those unfamiliar, listen to the last episode with Glo Pesci. He basically his story of St. Paul side of things. Shots Paul.
That's what's up. Yep.
And
Paul Bearer.
Yeah. I forgot to talk to him about that because that song Paul Bearer.
Yeah.
He samples Paul Bearer.
Oh, okay.
You know who that is?
I do. That's yeah. why I'm like, oh, and, wow.
funny thing is, when I was younger, I had a buddy who was into wrestling, and I was never like really into wrestling. And as we continued to like to our teenage years, he was still into wrestling, like really into wrestling. And
hardcore.
I remember going over to his house, and he'd be watching wrestling, and Undertaker would come on, and this Paul Bearer guy, and he was just like over the top. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Who exactly. is this guy?
Yeah,
and we always did this impression of Paul Bearer, and Paul Bearer actually passed away this year, so rest in peace,
rest
Paul
in
Bearer.
Peace, Paul.
Right. Actually, he's now with the Undertaker.
Oh, there you go.
Right. But I wanted
formal
to talk,
meeting.
I wanted to talk to Glo Pesci about that, but I forgot. So.
Yeah, make sure you cover that with him. He'll give you the whole history behind that.
Yeah, but it's not about Glo. It's about you. It's
okay.
about you. So, right. so kind of give me the backstory here, because all I really know is from Big Zach's book, the Headspin Headshots in History book,
gotcha.
which is
a small piece that
yeah,
I
it's
got
a small
in there,
piece. So. Yeah, and it's one man's story.
Exactly. Now, disclaimer for anyone that is this book, the Headspin Headshots in History. This is his story.
Right.
So if you feel he didn't accurately, correctly, I'm going to just name everything that's just redundant. If you don't think he did it right, talk to him. Let him know what it is you think he didn't do right.
Mm-hmm.
Give him the education on it and let him apply that, because he's the type of person that if he feels he left something out, he will make a post about it. He will acknowledge you. He'll do what he does. So,
and I believe he even says that in the book.
Yeah, it's kind of like let him do his thing. You know, I'm proud of him just for the fact that someone had a chance to do it. DJ Stage One is working on a book right now also, and he's covering a lot of the unsung heroes that are in the early 80s of hip-hop. So, you know, I mean, and that's something that I had on my Facebook page. I just wanted to share the image of it. They put a rough of what his book cover is out. So it covers a lot of stuff, too, that's going to be coming out, too. So he'll cover the things that the big brothers of us were doing before Headshots and things of that nature came out and whatnot. So
and Big Zach is also very approachable.
Oh, yeah. All day long, man.
He almost seems like someone I would walk up and just hug him. You know what I mean? And he would not
and he
be
would
upset.
Let you, and
yeah,
he would let you.
He would
let you. Offer you some pizza.
Yeah.
Like right after that, right on, you know, so. But all right, I mean, I go back, man, all the way to about 89 in the hip hop scene. I was about 15 at that time, and I went to South High. So a lot of people know the mecca hip hop in the Twin Cities kind of came from about Washburn and the South High scene, you know, in that range. There were some North Highers, you know, there was some Edison characters too, believe it or not. I can't remember how many artists came from Edison, but there were a few.
Okay.
And that was a rare school to see hip hop coming from. So most of it was what it was. So, I mean, been doing a lot of music since then, and I covered I covered the Headshot era. There was two mixtapes that I'm known for: Effort and Industrial Warfare. If you look those up, you can YouTube them. Extreme, you know, Extreme actually was an acronym. It meant Exquisite Examples, Truly Representing E for Musical Eternity, which was Examples for Life. So I made a point from the time we talked about the Low End Theory, when I heard those types of songs and I was realizing the type of artistry that was out, names meant something. Names were important. They were synonymous to your career. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna leave Examples for Life. You know, Extreme, there was nothing extreme at that point.
Okay.
No extreme sodas, no extreme games, none of that stuff. So that name was pretty open, and it was good, and I came with it. I was young, a lot of energy, great breath control on stage. That's a lot of what people would tell me all the time. Oh, damn, that was fresh. You know, you were clear all the way through. And then I started realizing, oh, okay, this is what people listen to. They actually are hearing me. So I know I need to speak my words. I need to say what I need to say and get my words out. So, I mean, that's how the Headshot time frame went. Did a lot of work then, got a lot of acceptance. After that, I left Rhymesayers on good terms. Wasn't anything negative like we talked earlier. I mean, there's artistic integrity that you have to have, and in my mind, I was still growing. There was a lot more I needed to do, and Rhymesayers was developing themselves to be the conglomerate that they are now with, you know, precise thinking. I mean, they had great planning, and they did what they were supposed to do. And I was still trying to find who else in the state was rapping, and who was good and who wasn't good, and why were you rapping and why weren't you rapping. I mean, I was still trying to learn the scene. I wasn't trying to just give up on the scene and go, this is my area, you know. So that's why it's hard to find my music. It's hard to see what I was up to at times, because I took individual approaches to things. Did music overseas in the early 2000s, landed a distribution deal, which got a leased album overseas called The Art of Raw Sound. We're talking released a couple 7 inches, 12 inches, a double LP CD release overseas. So I was getting paid through ASCAP when everyone was still fighting for coffee shops here and doing a lot of stuff. So, and no bragging to that, but I was just on my business. I was always beyond. I mean, I was with Interlock. We started that crew with the sole intention of creating a native tongue type of scenario for the Twin Cities. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. Everyone dissolved on their own personal terms to be the greater crews that they are now. You know, I mean, from your Big Zacks to you name it, your Odd Jobs. I mean, all those people that came from that, you know. And then after that, what was it? Worked with Dialogue Elevator's crew, which was pretty fresh. That was DJ Last Word and Ernie Rhodes and Jeffrey Watson, MC, and myself. And there was another DJ that we had as well. He was kind of like the missing in action person, like how Jarobi was to you know, to Tribe Called Quest. He was a part of the first album, but everything after that, he was just there in spirit. But you know,
who was that?
Derek is his real name. Okay. DJ name I can't remember. What's up, Derek? No disrespect, I just can't remember the DJ name, bro. He went off to the East Coast to handle some business and to kind of did a Jarobi. He went off and worked on his life, long-term life goals, you know what I mean? So he did a lot of art.
Let me ask you this. Whatever happened with Jeffrey Watson, MC?
Jeff, he's, you know, kind of doing his thing, man. I mean, he individually put out a bunch of projects. And then after that, he just came to terms with what he wanted to do. And this is just me speaking freely because he's a good friend of mine. I just feel like he artistically said, I don't want to deal with the competition of the scene, because it was extremely, no pun intended, but it was extremely serious back in the day. Artistic integrity was key. I mean, you had tons of groups doing things, and we were one of the crews that were very consistent. We had a six month stretch where we did a show a week. I mean, I don't know how many crews can say they did that, but we were out of state, in state. We rocked one show a week for 6 months straight, you know what I mean? And that's a solid run when you're on it. Never did tours, but we did little mini groups. And so I think Jeff just realized that he was better off making personal music, you know, and not being a part of the scene. So but Ernie stepped off to do his thing and became a very great solo artist. Last Word kind of teamed up with him, and they did great projects together prior to separating and doing their own things. Now you got Last Word and Crifey, you know, that crew's doing their thing for the D, and that's awesome. Because who comes to a sold out show that DJs are just playing music? That's beautiful. You know, Get Crifey is just bomb every year. You know what I mean? So I like that about that. And me, I just continued to do what I was doing, which was to stay focused and move on to the next project. So still tied in overseas, working on stuff now, working on a sophomore album of mine, believe it or not. It's called Dedicated. I can leak the name because that's what it's all about. And it's going to cover 20 years worth of hip hop from 94, from IAMIS all the way till 2014. So it'll drop next year.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah.
No disrespect. Right, kind on. Of a lot of time between a first album and a sophomore album.
Yeah. I mean, think about it, though. I mean, it's what I ended up doing between the two was just staying focused on the craft, because I was like, if you're not going to put out anything that represents where you are personally, I had tons of groups. I was in a rap group, Dialogue Elevators, for 4 years. I was with Interlock for a good 3 years. I mean, DRS, we were the ones that ran the last leg of the Dinky Towner. We were the ones that gave you the switch, which was every first Wednesday. It was free. So that was when it was Prof and Roswell and things like that. You know, we used to have free shows where all these big name guys now used to come and play just to play. And we had sold out capacity in the Dinky Towner until they sold it. So I was into that. I was all about.
So you weren't just kicking back, sleeping?
Nah, not at all.
Collecting
paychecks. Exactly. I was getting checks in the mail quarterly, but at the same time, I was about, what is the Twin Cities on now? What can we do? What can't we do? What haven't we done? You know what I mean? So. Yeah, so I get that question a lot.
Stay busy.
Man.
Stay busy.
I get that question a lot, man. I don't know.
Here's a question that I don't know. Someone has got to have asked you this at one point in time, if not more than that. Your first album was called Eat the 5-9.
Yeah, IAMIS. Yep, IAMIS, acronym for Immature Artist Imitate, Mature Artist Steal. So.
Okay, now, you know Royce the 5-9.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, this was before that.
Yeah, I was calling myself the 5-9 way before that.
That's
guy.
That's crazy.
Man.
Have you ever just
You know,
has it the influence? That's just kind of a small world.
It's even more small because I had a single that was on the radio for a while called Click, and Kanye West has this song that, you know, ain't nobody messing with my click, click, and mine was almost the exact same thing.
Oh,
that
yeah?
was in 2000.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, when I hear things and I'm like, all right, I'm on the right page. Mm-hmm. That's all it tells
right.
me. It's like, yo,
you're ahead of its time.
I'm there once again. Yeah. You know, so I'm like, okay.
So there's no beef with you and Royce.
Nah. Yeah. He's 5'9", I'm 5'9". Tall begins where we end. You know what I mean? So, you know, you're not tall until you're 5'9 and a half.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're average, man. So,
so tell me about the Loudmouth League.
Awesome. All right. Loudmouth League came from the Grind Time Now days that we had. Grind Time was going through some ownership concerns, and a lot of people were figuring out where their role was with that. And we had a lot of artists that were here, but they weren't being able to be represented right because Grind Time was kind of on a pause. So Spy MC, myself, and two individuals from White Rice Productions teamed together and said, okay, let's pick up what we have and let's decide how we're going to do this. So we ended up forming the Loudmouth League, which is a rap battle league. And it's also now they have a Loudmouth Down South, I believe, because Spy now lives back in San Antonio.
Okay.
And so they have the Northern Division and they have a Southern Division of it. And we're still connected with Grind Time. We're not necessarily affiliated with them because Grind Time, once they got together, they kind of dissolved all of their mini little independent, you know, it was kind of like the ABA and the NBA, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Once the NBA got their act together, all the ABAs either got rolled in or they went bye-bye,
right.
you know?
Yep.
So Loudmouth is kind of holding itself up right now.
Okay.
As far as how it operates, I don't really handle it too much. I was their marketing director for about a couple of years, and then I decided to let that go to focus more on my album and
okay.
some other ideas that I got going down the line for business ventures. Okay. So Spy MC is the guy to handle with the Loudmouth League on that one.
So you're obviously, you yourself are freestyle
yeah.
rapper, you know, you can do all that.
Yeah.
How do you feel? What are your feelings on like freestyle or like freestyling written, pre-written? I don't know if there's actually a term for that.
No, there's not. But that's as best as you're gonna get. Yeah, pre-written. I mean, it's different because I remember the era when freestyles were strictly the vinyl is on. 60 seconds, go. And you were talking about hair, clothes, crowd. I mean, that impromptu was really, really on. And then when I got a chance to see Grind Time, I was like, interesting. You know, I mean, they have an actual chance to research a person. So I'm like, it's gotta be worth it. You know what I mean? And then that's when the whole segment of jokes over bars, bars over jokes, you know, like what's more important, what the guy's saying or the fact that he's got you about the split seams laughing at the shit that he's already thought about
right.
over time. So they both have their niche, but I don't think anyone is better than the other. But if it goes back to the essence of things, I'll take a freestyle over vinyl in a heartbeat. You know, I mean, it's after the Blaze battle and watch an idea, rest in peace, go do his thing. And I've seen him doing it years prior. You know what I mean? Like, oh, God, this guy's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see him do it live and eat up some of the best that were at that current time was like, you can't duplicate that.
Yeah.
There is no need to go home and write a 3-minute rap about somebody that's not going to have the same impact as this shit right here,
right.
you know, so
yeah.
so I'll take the Gladiator approach versus the pre-written any day.
Mm.
But they both have their value.
They do. I can see that, you know, I to have something, you know, I essentially in pre-written that's like it's you know it's going to be good,
right?
And that's what the crowd wants.
Yeah, they're expecting it, so the expectations are super high
right.
for something that's written. Yeah. You know, I mean, right off top, you better come with bars.
Yeah.
And if you don't come with bars, I mean, that's what I liked about the Loudmouth League because these guys were new,
mm-hmm.
and it was invigorating. Because I mean, in 11 months, when I came in, we went from the Blue Nile and Red Sea type of environments mm-hmm. to the Fine Line. And we had AC Alone, and we had Razkaz on tour with Spy and I, and representing the league in every state we went to. So, I mean, we seriously did it with the sole intentions of saying, the North has battle rappers. The North has hip-hop as well.
Right.
Check us out outside of what you hear from an atmosphere or you hear from a POS or anything that's getting the college, you know, music plays.
Yeah.
This is also going on here, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was all about recognition more than anything.
Right. That's cool. So you guys actually, you get out of state with that.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. Man. Yeah, we used to fly people in. We would take care of them on the same level that you would take care of an artist that's performing, because that's what they're doing. You know, it's like, yep, get some artists to come in, get the bill, ask people who wanted to see who battle what, kind of get go into their history, their old discography of what they've been doing, and right. team people up with the right type of styles, because you want the best battles. You don't want some fluff that's out of shape. I mean, right. vocally, and to come up with somebody who's just Ginsu, just super sharp, and it's gonna be a boring battle. Right. You know, so. Yeah. You want to put people's egos at test, you know? Right. So that's what made that fun. Is like,
you gotta research
all day. You have to. Yeah, it's just like anything, you know.
Yeah. So yeah. Would you say, actually, in Big Zach's book, it said you were actually on the forefront of that, because after the 8 Mile movie came out, it was like bam.
Yeah.
Just the battle scene was just like exploded.
Yeah.
And obviously, you guys capitalized off of that with the Freestyle Nights at
the Pasta Bar.
Pasta Bar, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
will it ever come back to those days, do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, we covered it slight, you know, just before we started this interview again about the unity of hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And there's not enough unity here, and I'm just being forthright with it. You know what I mean? Some people will like that I'm saying this. Some won't. Some will respect me. More will respect me than anything. But there is not enough unity in the hip-hop scene in the Twin Cities or in the state of Minnesota in general for any major movement to hold any more validity than it already did. Right. We can't recreate Bon Appetit. We can't recreate the Pasta Bar. We can't recreate the Dinky Towner, because there was an essence behind it. The Nomad was the closest we came, and Out the Box Tuesdays just ended. So unfortunately, it's like, once again, another long-standing thing has now bit the dust with no alternative, no contingency plan. Like, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? It's going to take...
Why did those end?
You know, I don't even know. I mean, I caught it in a social media read, because I do all this marketing for other artists. I mean, R&B people that I deal with too. So I'm always reading and checking. And then I see a post from one of the DJs, the main DJ. And he's just saying, you know, after 3.5 year run, it's done. And I'm like, damn. Once again, you know what I mean? I'm like, this was another cool thing to see, and it was local, and it was organic, and you know what I mean? And when are we going to get another one of these things? I've been searching for the next fingerprint that we can say, hey, let's go, outside of me saying, damn it, I'm going to learn how to write grants and go get a building and then do it myself. Right. You know what I mean? Other than that, it's like...
I remember the day the Dinky Towner died. That was sad, man. That was tough.
Super sad, man. Super sad.
That was like the day the music died.
Yeah.
It definitely had that essence, you know. I remember going to that last show. They had like a professional photographer. It's documented in history, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's an ultimate beast. The entire Dinky Town area is synonymous to Twin Cities hip hop. Mm-hmm. Without that, a lot of things wouldn't have birthed. I mean, we had an opportunity to do shit downtown. Mm-hmm. Jitters was a coffee shop downtown that I remember meeting Sesame, rest in peace, from the Abstract Pack. We had a good 15, 20-minute conversation, first time ever, about hip-hop, and it was about the integrity of hip-hop. So, I mean, I'm going back to when I was like 17, 18, where we've been dealing with the same issues. It's integrity. It's who's going to step up, who's going to give back. I mean, I'm not knocking anybody in particular, but there's a lot of people who have eaten well off of the hip-hop scene here. And I get it. You don't want to open your door to everything because you worked really hard to get where you are. Mm-hmm. But if you wouldn't have gotten the opportunities that you did before you reached this level of success, you'd be me. You know, you'd be you. You'd be everybody else that has a disgruntled bone to pick with certain things, you right. know, that we find, you know, integrally wrong. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? These are my brother's keeper, you know?
I kind of feel like I need to say this on the show, because eventually I'm going to have to run. There's people personally that I know that would like to be on this show.
I know.
But it's like, I don't enjoy your music, you know what I mean?
Right,
and
right.
I just don't want to really associate my name with you. You know what I mean?
No, that makes perfect sense, man.
And maybe that's kind of their thought process. I don't know.
You know, hindsight is 20/20 on that too, though. I mean, because you're right. If people can't respect where they are in their industry or their artistry, pardon me, meaning like what do you need to do to get better, to make your music more accessible or viable to those that are going to spend the money, come to your shows? Because these are business people at the end of the day. You know what I mean? And I respect them for making these tough decisions, because it leaves a nasty taste in people's mouths when they don't have clarity. But sometimes you don't really need clarity. You can view yourself and see what you may or may not be doing. And side note, all you rappers out there, and I'm saying rappers because there aren't a lot of MCs in this state. There's a lot of rappers. Mm-hmm. And all you rappers that are getting acknowledgement from your friends that your shit is dope and it's really not, stop acknowledging whack shit. Because you used to get punched off a stage, kicked off a stage, booed off a stage back in the day. This shit nowadays, and I'm sorry I'm getting vulgar with it, but it's one of those personal feelings, because I'm a bouncer at a bar, and I was telling you about that earlier. That's my fly on the wall gig at night, you know? Yeah. And I get to see all these artists come into these bars, and I watch them get on the mic, and I watch their ego just erupt. And I'm like, and I watch their six friends that they brought to a venue that holds 400 people, but they're turning up, or they're doing all of these particular things, and I'm looking at them like, you guys are punchlines. You know what I mean? Like, you're not, there's nothing about what you're doing that's important.
Right.
It's, you're just there. You're taking up space. And I want to say something, but then they're just going to look at me and go, you're just a bouncer. But at the same time, I'm like, I've got history here.
Right.
You know, I've got a good 2-decade fingerprint.
Do you want to drop that line and be like, do you know who I am?
I never. I've had a couple people come up to me, and it's odd. Because when you're patting somebody down at the door to make sure that the night goes safe, and then they come up to you later on and they're like, yo, man, are you Extreme? And then it's like, oh, shit, they've been thinking about this all night long. Do I play it off, or what kind of conversation am I going to get into? So I acknowledge it. I say, yeah, I go, it's probably not the best time to talk about this because I'm working. Got to keep you safe. So I play it off, but then I go back to them later on in the night and I'm like, yeah, I've been around for a while. And the handful that have come up to me like that, I've watched dramatic changes in their stage presence. Mark my words. Nice. I watch them and I see them and I'm like, okay, cool. He's grabbing the mic better. He's actually not cupping the crown. Right. I can hear him. Mm-hmm. He's not grabbing his balls. He's actually doing his job right now. You know what I mean? And then they'll come over and I can see that. What do you think? Like the big uncle. Like, what do you think, Unc? And I'm like, I like, you know, and I'll give him a couple words of advice. And then for the rest of the night, they're beaming. I could just see it. They're buying drinks. They're hanging out because they got real advice.
Right. A lot of artists need these days.
I mean, anyone that wants to hit me up, Alfonso Fleming Jr. on Facebook, feel free. If you want to send me an MP3 of your music, you want to know what my opinion is, I'll gladly send it to you.
Right.
I'm not rude on that level. I want to see progression.
Right.
I mean, Ken C is one of my favorite local artists. Stress the Mad Hatter is one of my local artists out of Schoolboy. I like Long Doe. We talked about them just because I like their longevity. I've known them for the course of 2 decades, and I like watching people succeed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. However their methods are, success is going to be success at the end of the day. And ultimately, the best thing that an artist can be is sold out. Don't ever let anyone tell you that selling out is bad. Isn't that the best thing that any business could be, is sold out of their product? You know what I mean?
Right.
Excellent. Sold out shows.
Yep.
So get your terminology right. Get your mind right on the music you're doing on that tip. So.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't. But the purpose of the show is to really, you know, show what you've done and what you're doing. You know what I mean? I actually used to be a part of, I used to run a label called Lunatics Productions.
Oh, okay.
And exactly what you just said, I was a rapper. I was not an MC. And I'm it took me a while to really, I didn't want to do it.
Right.
But I had kind of fell into it. And the artist that I was working with, a couple guys, Professor Fresh and MC Rents.
Oh, yeah, Rents.
I mean, those guys are artists. They were born to do that, and they were meant to do that. I myself was not. So I didn't have a problem not, like, putting down the mic, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm cool.
Yeah, you know, and there's definitely some things I said on the mic that were just like, why would I even say that, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's, I always wished I had something to say. More importantly, say something. And that's what rappers these days need. That's what they need to know.
Yeah.
There has to be a purpose behind what
they're losing
doing.
Focus on, the, right. on what really a master ceremony is.
I mean,
you know what I mean? And that's what MC, for those who did not know, that's what MC stands for.
Right.
Master of ceremony. Mm-hmm. The individual that is going to come forth, separate themselves from anything else and present the art form. That's what a master ceremony does. Great hosts are master ceremonies. Great MCs that can take you through a story on stage all the way through. Those are the things that the artistry is failing on, is the actual entertainment value of it and the realness behind owning your words. I mean, don't go on stage, like you said, just say some shit. I mean, you know, because at the end of the day, you're accountable for the things you said. I mean, Camo J, on my way to this interview, had posed a question about, is the rap these days, is it raping the minds of the youth? And it's kind of interesting that I was going to be coming to do this interview, and I knew I'd be talking about integrity. I knew I wouldn't really be talking about me more so, but just how an old vet views this current scene. And then when the music I drops, it's going to feel like a throwback to you guys, because it's going to be rooted in the essence of hip hop. That's why the album's called Dedicated. But when I heard that on the way here, a lot of people were saying that, yeah, hip hop is doing that. And then a lot of people were like, no, hip hop is not. It's the filter in between. So we're talking children, we're talking parents, how they separate themselves and how they allow them to hear certain things, who cares, who doesn't care. And it's all synonymous to this Twin Cities hip hop scene as well. It's like, you own your words. At the end of the day, the things you say to people are going to affect them. Some people are still affected by the words that Idea has put on vinyl, has put on CD, has put on anything, because it helped motivate their life in another direction. And that's why I respect artists like that. And I mean, people who hold sincerity to what they mean and how they feel and hold themselves accountable, that's a true artist. You know what I mean? And you can't go wrong with that type of, you know, belief system, you know? And that's another thing, the retail value of my life from doing odd jobs like selling glasses and shoes, and while I was rapping, doing all those little minor things, still helped me understand, because to sell a product, you have to know the belief system in somebody. Why do you like it? Why don't you like it? Why should you like it? Why should you buy this? Why shouldn't you buy this? You know, if you don't have a mindset like that for your music, you're lost in the game already. You might as well, like I said, be a spectator, you know. Come see me at a show, you know, hang out in the back room. You know what I mean? You know, I'm good on that. I'll share a beer. You know what I mean? Yeah. But other than that.
And that goes back, you know, to, like, I went, like I said, when I made music, had I grown up listening to Tribe Called Quest, had Brother Ali been around before, I would have had more meaningful things to say. It would have sparked that inspiration in me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's why Brother Ali, to me, here's an example, is the West Bank Music Festival just happened. My buddy Johnny Questmark played, and I was doing pictures. I did some video work for him at the show, and I got to meet Brother Ali. I've met him a few times, but I got a picture with him, and I sent it to a good friend of mine.
Right on.
And he knows is I really like Brother Ali's music. He has no idea who he is. And so, I sent him the picture. He's like, he's a white dude, and he's albino?
Yep.
And he's like, I had no idea. And I'm like, yeah, it's like, because that doesn't matter. It's like,
exactly.
The music is just so important, you know, the message behind it and everything is just more important to me than
He's a really good poet. That's the key. I mean, poets, man. Poets are gonna lift you, they're gonna move you, they're gonna inspire you. I mean, your Desdemonas, I mean, your you know what I mean, you think about it, your Dessas, things of that nature. Anyone that's ever put themselves and put their heart on their sleeve is a true poet to me. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you have your words, and that's all you have. You know, so if you don't love yourself, if you don't love enough someone else, you'll never put anything out there that'll motivate anybody. You'll just be a filler, as I call them, you know. And there are wormholes in time. I mean, an album can sound like one particular thing all the way through, but then all of a sudden track 12 or track 6 and you're like, damn, because that artist was in tune to something. You know what I mean? They put out quality music, as I would consider that to be, you know, not just sound,
right?
You know, so
yeah,
man. It's, as long as it's out there, man, I say seek it out, search it. You know what I mean? Try to find the best in music, and don't just accept music for what it is.
Yeah, you know, it's not all on the radio.
Nothing good is on the
radio. But it is on the internet
all day. Yeah. Intrawebbers.
Yeah,
you know.
So speaking of that, people could just. Where's the best place for people to go to find you?
I would say SoundCloud.
SoundCloud?
Yep. Dispute one word, common spelling, dispute and one. You know, just look me up. I've got 3 joints on there from an EP that I put out in, God, what was that, like 2000? 2009, I want to say. Okay. It was it's what is that called? Back by Popular Demand EP. It's got a joint on there called Asinine, produced by Big Jess. It's got The Awakening, that's produced by Last Word, and then the overseas version of it had it's called Embrace from my guy Staffro from Recluse Recordings. But we haven't released that because that song's pending on some other project that they have, so okay. We don't want to leak it. So I just basically gave you guys the songs itself, and I believe they have some instrumental links that okay. You can get off of that too.
Nice.
You know, so but yeah, SoundCloud Dispute One. Other than that, I'm working on this new album, like I said, Dedicated, getting some musical feedback on there. I talked to a lot of prominent people here. I told you I spoke to Gonzo Bean, you know, from a Horned Heart, and he gave me a very good layout of what the album is sounding like. I let him listen to four tracks, and he gave me a good idea of what integrity, what I was saying vocally and musically, what it needed to be upgraded and changed. So I'm taking it back to the lab, and I'm gonna recreate it and give
perfected.
It a facelift. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a facelift musically.
Nice.
You know, so
nice.
But vocally, I like where it's going. You
yeah,
know? Definitely.
Cool.
You know, it's a solid. It's gonna be a
good
solid album. So
good to hear.
Yeah.
Shout out to Big Jess.
Yes.
While we're on
yes.
it.
Honorable mention. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I was on there with my man.
How, do you know Amber Ace Cleveland?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because yeah. I have to mention her name.
Right on.
And Brims and Tongues. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you the one that came with your kid at that video shoot was
yeah.
wearing the Brims and Tongues gear, right?
Yep, nice. yep.
Working on some stuff with them. I love their gear, the hats,
nice.
The shirts. And I don't have any tongues yet.
Slowly but sure.
But I'll get there. Okay, so SoundCloud, Dispute One, one word.
Yeah, yep, no, that's the best way to do it.
You're on Bandcamp, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's a mirror of the same deal.
Okay,
so either way you look
deal.
At it, Bandcamp or okay. SoundCloud's going to have the same deal. I'm on Tumblr, Dispute One.
Okay.
Let's see.
And the Loudmouth League.
Yeah, the Loudmouth League has its own website, and it has its own Twitter on that deal, so you can always look them up on that end. They'll handle that, but yeah, I literally don't do anything with it anymore just because I can't control the direction it's going to go here, and I can't look out for the best interest of the people involved. So whenever I can't have my full hands on something, I leave it alone. Just you know, I let it do its thing,
okay.
take its course. So.
And I think the easiest way for people to find these links would be to go to thankyourob.com. And
as
now
always.
Is when I go into my spiel.
Shameless plug. right.
Go to thankyourob.com. You can click on the podcast link, or it'll take you to the Thank You Rob podcast page, and I'll throw in a link to your site right in there.
Appreciate it.
You know what? While you're at thankyourob.com, though, you can also go to my graphic design page.
Oh,
here it comes. Here it comes.
Drum roll.
I Define Design. It's right there. You can click that link. Also, the Some People's Kids podcast, if you're under other podcasts, comedy podcasts.
Right on.
Listen to me and my buddy Chuck bullshit for an hour. You
good
know?
Stuff, good stuff.
And then I got a link to Brims and Tongues because I got a lot of love for those guys.
That's what's up.
Got a lot of love.
That's what's up.
But thanks for listening. Any last words there?
Honestly, I say stay tuned. I mean, follow up on anything and everything. I'm on Twitter, Dispute One as
right.
well, you know, so follow up on that. And check me out on Facebook, Alfonso Fleming Jr., Alphonso, you know, phone, phonics, hooked on, that type of deal. That's how you spell
nice.
That.
Yeah.
So friend me, add me. I'm always talking about something new, and I will keep you guys in touch because I'm working on a documentary also, and that's something we can cover down the line.
Nice.
It's
all
called
right.
Empires right. from Molehills, the Grind Series.
Right. So 2014 for the album, though.
Yes,
right.
yes, definitely. I'm shooting for spring, if not summer, because I kind of want it to be nice and warm and the ability to do stuff all summer long with
right.
the album. So.
There you go.
But yeah, so it's sounding really good right now, but like I said, it's going to get a musical facelift, and for the time being, just download whatever you can. And we're on, like I said, SoundCloud for everything. Even the 1+1 album that I did with Oracle Uno. It's a mixtape.
Oh,
tape.
Shit.
And Graph Roots.
Meant
so.
To ask you about that.
Oh, it's all good. Yeah, you can always. It's been out for about almost 2 years now. It's
okay.
a free download, an entire project.
Nice.
And as, like I said, until this album dropped, I wanted to get everybody just aware. He's still got bars. He's still doing his thing. You know, you
yep.
may not see me out there, but that's by choice.
Shout
so.
Out to Oracle.
Yes, Oracle.
I talked
Roots.
To him about doing the show. We just haven't connected yet. And we were really close at one point.
He's
this
a good one.
In the show.
Yeah, he's a good one to get on, man.
Yeah.
Everything from art to you know, you name
yeah,
it.
He does
man.
It all.
The brother's doing it.
So Oracle, if you're listening, let's do this. All right.
All right.
Let's,
you got it.
Yeah. So, anyways, last word. One word. One last word.
Mm.
One word.
Devotion.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
My last word. Oh, this is two words. Chewbacca balls.
Yeah. Back at it again. You are now introduced to the most appealing. Got banged like a 38, touched the ceiling. Don't fret nor cry, ain't lost the feeling. Go ahead and play your games, I'm the one that's dealing the cards on any boulevard. I'm a rhymer, precise and on point like an automatic timer. You could search for weeks or months and never find a replacement. Face it, rap it, put it behind ya. I'm a blast from the past, fuck a throwback. Anybody that listens to real shit knows that. Penetrated and invaded with watts. When hot shit ready to drop, like you taking a squat from suburban blocks to foot chases with cops. More often than not, the music that you saying you got. Whack rappers praying it stop. Please take a breather. D1 Big Jess, that's what you need, bruh. Yeah, bring it live through the receiver. You can get a chance to rhyme, but when I think about it, that thought is asinine. It's past the time to let you people know who it is. D1's in the house, you dig? Yeah, so there it is. And you can try to block my shine, but mono we mono, you're never coming close to mine. It's past the time, so witness how a brother gets his. Top-notch truck busters related to hustlers. Whether you love it or hate it, it's the reason you discuss us. Trust us with your rhythm and soul, and whatever you're told, do it till I'm dead in a hole. Never break a fold. That's a lame decision. I aim with precision to make you stop, drop, and listen. See a little nigga glistening like rays over water. S-A-S. And I put that on my son and my daughters. One of the best. Fuck it, I'm in the top three, cause I can hold the title highly. D1 MC. From any year you remember to the one that it is. No punk when you say a nigga handle his biz with Big Jess Funk. We get it more than crunk and bring it over the hump with dead weight in a trunk. So bump to bump your system like Jay Budden. This is for the ones that made a mistake and said we couldn't. Shit, like we wouldn't. Come on.
Yeah, fuck it, we can freestyle. Y'all wanna hear some people freestyle? You know what I'm saying?
Some freestyle,
some non-rehearsed shit. You can see if cats really have talent. You know what I'm saying? If they just up here shucking, diving and shit.
This new one's gonna set it off.
Can get a chance to rhyme, but when I think about it, that thought is asinine. It's past the time to let you people know who it is. D1's in the house, you dig?
Yeah,
so there it is. And you can try to block my shine, but mono we mono, you're never coming close to mine. It's past the time, so witness how a brother gets his.
On occasion, my musical talent remains blazing and far from a spectacle. I'm headlight gazing with late nights amazing. See it for self, remain sick like a virus, nigga. Guard your health, flaunt your wealth, and anything else to hide behind. You stand behind a nine. I stand behind my lines, run shit like a combine. Get it till it's my time. More often than never, don't ever cross that thin line. I pen mine for the dedicated listeners. Hard work in the flesh like blisters, with a twist of my wrist to put words in the mist. Cause you can tell it's lyrical bliss embodied in a gift. Holy shit, that's the reaction, the satisfaction. More raw than a porn star with back to back action. We back to back maxing, looking at the competition, putting a definition on friend, foe, or opposition. Hell, you better listen,
You can get a chance to rhyme, but when I think about it, that thought is asinine. It's past the time to let you people know who it is. D1's in the house, you dig?
Yeah,
so there it is. And you can try to block my shine, but mono we mono, you're never coming close to mine. It's past the time, so witness how a brother gets his.